My focus wasn't the soul across from me. My focus was the information, right? I'm looking at this solution and I want to help. I know there's a problem here. There's something here. So ignoring
the emotion, an actual human being,
a soul across from me.
You are listening to Above the Divide with Paula Danielle. The church has been divided for too long and we're here to help us come together. This is season one, where we're talking about having a faithful posture in a politically hostile world. Now, let's jump into today's show and continue to rise above the divide. Hello, and welcome to Above the Divide. Y'all, I can't believe we are already at episode number 8, and we are in for a treat. Because in the studio today, I have one of my newest friends.
Yes.
Y'all, we met over coffee and it was an immediate click. And so I'm excited to introduce to the Above the Divide audience, Pastor Courage Molina.
Okay. Hey, I'm so glad to be here.
Welcome to Above the Divide.
Thank you for having me. Truly.
This is going to be a great episode.
I'm excited. Let's get it.
Courage is the pastor of Bold Faith Community Church, an online Bible study for women to help them read, understand, and live out God's word with boldness and confidence.
Yeah.
In addition to that, Courage, you're a coach, a certified coach.
I am a coach, yeah.
Yeah, to help women understand the Bible and live out their purpose in Christ. And you have a workshop called Courageous Discipleship.
I do.
Yes, Courageous Discipleship. And the link for that workshop is going to be in the show notes. Okay. One thing about being a coach is nobody wants a coach that'll lie to you.
Facts.
And they don't have that issue with you.
Not at all.
Above the Divide, y'all about to find out. You won't have that issue with Courage as your coach.
Not at all.
I'm excited about the brunch and Bible you have coming up.
Yeah, listen, I'm so excited. It's one of my favorite things to do, honestly. Yeah. It is so good. And I'm not just saying that because it's mine. I'm saying it because it's the truth. It really is so good. Like, women from different walks of life, different churches, mm-hmm. like, coming together and learning how to study the Word of God.
Yeah.
And we eat good.
Yeah.
Now, come on.
Gotta have both.
Listen.
That's Acts 2 all day.
Listen, physical food and spiritual food. It's all
day.
Good.
All day.
Yeah, I love it.
I'm excited that you are pastoring a people and developing a people that take the Bible seriously.
Yes.
In a day and time where biblical literacy statistically is at an all-time low. You are doing important work. Kudos to you, sis.
Thank you.
We here at Above the Divide love to play a game.
Okay.
Love to play a game. And so we are going to jump into what appears to be just mere Jenga. But this Jenga set has questions on it that you have to answer when you pull out the block.
Okay.
And we're going to see how many blocks we can pull out before the Jenga communicator comes tumbling down. Mm. All right. Are we ready?
Sure.
Okay. All right. You go first.
So I can pull the first anyone? Block. There's no
you
like
cannot
rules.
Pull the top. Okay, don't be like that, Courage. You must not. You cannot pull the top lever.
I already am not. I don't like it. All right. Okay.
All right. What you got?
My question. What's one question about faith that you think Gen Z is asking? If it's so great, why does it seem like the world is falling apart?
Wow.
Right?
Yes.
If faith is so wonderful.
Yes.
Then why are we struggling the way that we are? If God is so good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why is the world an absolute dumpster fire? Do you know what I mean?
Gen Z is asking that.
Yes.
Gen Z is asking that.
Because they just don't know.
They don't know.
Can't understand it. If it's so good, why are we struggling?
And that is a valid question because we have hard things, horrible things happening all around us. And while we have good things too, the horrible things seem to make the news.
Yes.
And so it can make the world seem like it's under bigger fire than it is.
Yes.
Ugh. All right. Here's my turn. Let's see if I can get one out. I am horrible at Jenga. That was close. You can only listen to one musical artist the rest of your life. Who is it?
I mean, first of all, don't judge me. You know what I'm saying?
Above the Divide is a judgment-free zone.
Don't judge me. I'm going to go with the late, great Michael Jackson.
Come on.
you know sis. Yes.
I'm just saying, from the old to the new. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I think that's what I'm going.
But here's the thing. Michael had like some songs that will make you go to God and figure out if you're living right.
Listen.
Because Man in the Mirror, he ain't play.
No, he did not. Listen.
His environmental theology in what was it? Heal the World.
That's right. He was a man of justice, you know, and they don't care about us. We're talking about social injustice. Yo. Like, come on now.
Yeah. Mike was nothing to
and
be played with.
And he had a
with.
Good bop, so you could just do all the things. You know?
Mike was nothing to play with. Nothing to play with. All right, go ahead.
Okay, and you said I can't pick. First of all, what kind of game is this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Look at you. Look at you.
About to tear something up. Okay. What's one scripture we've taught wrong? What's one scripture we've taught wrong and need to reteach?
Just one, Courage. Just one.
I'm going to go with For I Know the Plans I Have for You. Jeremiah 29:11.
Yeah, we need to, baby.
And I love that.
Yo.
I love Jeremiah 29:11.
But we teach it wrong for sure.
Because you think that you want to be praying that. You think that that's what you want to be declaring over your life. However,
we need to look at some context.
Said,
hello,
baby,
somebody.
I don't want
baby.
That. I don't want, because he's just trying to encourage you because you're about to be on punishment for 70 years. I don't want that.
Go to your room. When you come out after 70 years, then we'll talk.
Yeah, and I don't want you to lose hope while you're in there, because I know the plans that I have for you, but you're about to sit down and be in a timeout for the next 70 years. Yeah, I think that's one.
Yeah, that is. That's a big one. That's a big one. All right, let me see.
Ooh, better her than me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well,
better her than me.
Above the divide, we will not be playing Jenga if we ever meet in person. Okay. It's not going to happen. But last question. Who do you trust most in your life?
Like a person?
Yeah. 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 You can't say God. Mm. That's a given.
Can I say me?
Yes.
No? Okay. Yeah.
Yes. You me. Can. You trust you.
Yes.
Tell us why.
I can't. I'm not concerned about how I'm going to take it.
Okay.
Right. And I think that, you know, I'm married and I have kids and all of that, and I trust them, and that's great. But there is this fear that if I say this or if I'm honest, you know, what is that going to look like? And so I know I can trust myself.
Yes.
Right. Because I know my own thoughts about myself.
Yes.
I know that I'm going to forgive myself, that God is with me.
Come
Do you know
on.
What I mean?
Come on.
And so I don't have to hide anything. This probably wasn't always true. I don't think that I would have always said me. But on this side of my relationship with God, it's probably going to be me.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. That's good. A lot of us can't trust ourselves because we can't forgive ourselves. Like you said, you could trust yourself because you know you can forgive yourself.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good. Already bars. Bars. Listen, as we jump into this episode today, Courage, we're going to be talking about what it looks like to communicate with dignity.
Okay.
To communicate with dignity, because I think what happens is we start off having conversations, and it's very easy for it to get indignant.
Yes.
Very quickly.
Yes. We'll start off right, and then go left.
Somewhere in there.
Yes.
So we start off with questions, and somewhere in there, Jenga comes tumbling down. But out of all the questions Jesus asked, we don't see him asking questions that make human beings less than.
Right.
That denigrate or look down on somebody. And our goal for this episode is that by the time we wrap this next few minutes that we're together, people will have some tools to talk to their neighbors, whether they agree, disagree, family, friends, enemies, with some dignity. So let me ask you, have you ever been, as pastors, we're trained to ask more questions than we make statements.
Yes.
Especially in pastoral counseling, one-on-one conversations. Have you ever been in a pastoral conversation and you're asking the questions and listening to the statements, and all of a sudden it's taking a left turn and you're like, wait a minute, how we get here?
Yes, especially early on. I'm naturally curious.
Okay.
I want to understand. That's really what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to understand. So I was out to lunch and we were sitting down and I'm just trying to understand.
She's just trying to understand. She's just trying to get an understanding in all things.
That's it. Okay. And so I'm asking these questions, but I wasn't paying attention. And that onus is on me, right? So I'm asking questions. I didn't think anything of them. I didn't have any hidden agenda. I wasn't trying to make a point about anything. I was really just gathering information so that I could respond or encourage or give some guidance. And before I knew it, she was crying at the table at lunch out in public. But guess what? I couldn't stop asking questions. And then like three questions in, after she was already crying, I was like, oh wait, no, you know what? I was like, I'm sorry. We actually don't have to continue this conversation, not here in this restaurant. People are looking, and I'm like, I'm so sorry. That went left. I never even considered that it would go that way.
Okay. And you know, I appreciate you because we're opening up with the vulnerability. Yeah. Because sometimes as Jesus followers, we can put up this facade that we always get it right. We always hit a home run with every conversation. And in actuality, I think it's more helpful when we talk about, no, there are some times where we weren't listening. We weren't paying attention, maybe not even discerning with our hearts. And before we knew it, it was like, whoa, what just happened?
My focus wasn't the soul across from me. My focus was the information, right? I'm looking at this solution and I want to help. I know there's a problem here. There's something here. So just not even taking into consideration how these questions might make her feel. And I didn't think, honestly, the questions, I don't think it was the questions themselves. It was her experience. And so reliving and answering those questions is what really led her to, you know, get emotional. But I wasn't even checked in to notice or pick up on that before she started crying. And it was like I was down in this rabbit hole. And I could not break myself out. I'm like,
digging for information.
Yes. And just ignoring the emotion, an actual human being, a soul across from me.
That is such a key piece of communicating and having a conversation. So when does it turn from, what are the signs, what are the guidelines, what are the guardrails to tell ourselves, you know, I'm no longer communicating, I'm just talking at this point. And what is the difference between the two?
I think it starts before you actually open your mouth if you're going to do it well, right? Okay. I think waiting until the conversation goes left is disastrous.
I think we need to
start by like, where am I going? Why am I asking these questions? And is the person, and for pastors and Christians, for all of us, truly, the conversation needs to take into consideration the person, this human being.
That's good. That's good. Not just the information.
How is this soul going to receive this? How is this soul going to walk away even when the conversation is done? Because maybe she wouldn't have been emotional there, but maybe she could have gone home and felt away.
Yes.
Am I asking these questions and looking at this human being? To what end am I going to? And you brought this up earlier. You know, when we look at the questions that Jesus asked, I think the difference between Christ's followers and Christ is that God wants to get us free. Jesus is having a conversation and asking questions that are going to lead to your freedom. We are often not having conversations to lead to a person's freedom. We are looking for a problem. We're looking for a solution. We are looking for a lesson. I'm going to teach you a lesson.
Yeah.
Right? I want to rebuke you.
Yeah.
I want to correct you. I'm not trying to free you. Mm. Right.
So, and Jesus is looking for freedom.
Freedom.
He doesn't get anything out of it. It's not an ego trip.
Yep.
For him. You know what? One of the things in communication that I hear followers of Jesus say over and over and over again is, well, we need to speak the truth in love. And Jesus came to bring a sword, not peace. And Jesus turned over the tables. Like, why do we have that posture?
Because we don't know how to read our Bible in context. That's why. You don't want me to say
Above
that?
The divide. So I didn't give a disclaimer at the beginning of episode, but we are in adult mode of this season. So welcome to Above the Divide. We don't know how to read in context. Right. Say more. So just pick one of those.
So when anything we're talking about where Jesus is clapping back or Jesus is rude, we're not taking into consideration who he's talking to, what he knows about that particular group. We're not paying attention to who's the recipient. Jesus didn't talk to the Pharisees the way he did the woman at the well. People that were in sin, like the people who thought they were above sin, above reproach, that attitude and that tone changed based on how many conversations, what was the closeness, the things that he said to Peter when he rebuked him. This is somebody he ate with that was close to him, that he showed to give rest to. You want to correct somebody you don't have relationship with. You don't have permission or authority.
That's not
to
gonna
say
work.
Nothing. It doesn't work that way. So this idea, like, I want to correct you on your post. Baby, you do not know me. Don't say nothing on my post, okay? Because you don't know me. You don't have permission or authority. And so that right there reveals the motive. Those motives are trash motives. Because I don't think for 2 seconds that a stranger is going to be listening to something I said. You don't know me from a candy. Girl, I'm not trying to correct you. I'm trying to expose you. That's what I'm trying to do. And I'm doing that out of context.
Hold on. I am not trying to correct you. I'm trying to expose you.
Yes.
And that is where we get it wrong. Mm-hmm. That's where communication becomes undignified, when we take this posture of trying to expose people. One of my mentors said, what you're saying might be true, but you haven't earned the right to say it.
Please say that again for the people.
What you are saying might be true, but you haven't earned the right to say it. And I think sometimes in our relationships, much like you were saying, Jesus had the relationship and the right to speak into Peter's life that way. The hard questions and the hard statements he made to the Pharisees was not his first encounter with them. And so communicating with dignity, I think starts with relationship first.
Yes. Even when we look at the epistles, when we look at the letters that Paul wrote, and it's like, correct one another, this, that, and the other, the church should do this. Well, I think that we, out of context, don't recognize that those churches at that time were house churches. So I knew you in the neighborhood. I saw you at the marketplace.
That's good.
I knew your mom and them. You were invited into my home. You ate at my table.
Yes.
And so I actually do know you. This is not the global or international or big C church.
Right.
These are people I'm in church with. And Paul had the right to correct them because he planted the church. He was their pastor. He was their apostle.
Yes.
He was their leader. He is not telling you these people from Corinth to be rebuking people that are at the church in Jerusalem. He's talking about the folks that's right there with you. That
Corinth
see
talking
you
to Ephesus. Like, what are you doing? Yeah.
I saw them Galatians. No, that's not, you know, so it's taken out of context. We don't understand the relationship of the people that even when Paul was telling us to rebuke and all of these things, we don't understand that they were people who lived in the same town. Churches were
that's
in someone's
good.
Home.
Yes.
They broke bread together. They had the Lord's Supper together.
Yes.
They were
eating.
You didn't even give me a pack of salt and vinegar chips, and you want to tell me
salt
something.
Vinegar chips stank. Like S-T-A-N-K.
First of all, don't do that.
They stank.
Don't choose violence on your own podcast. This is unnecessary. Okay.
Nacho cheese Doritos. Not hot. Do you eat hot chips?
I get a hanker when I go to
my hometown.
I'm about
to be disrespectful. We're going to bring it back to dignity because I'm about to go to another disrespectful. No, but you're telling the truth. Like, they were in house churches. They were in relationship. They were doing life with each other.
For real.
For real.
Not like the marketing videos that you say, do life together. We want you to do life together at this church. Not like that.
Only on Sunday.
But in
for
real
an
life.
Hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah, but in real life, they were. Yes.
How do we communicate with dignity when we have to say hard things?
From a place of grace, from your own brokenness, from your own reminder. I think our memories are short. I forgot who I used to be. I forgot where I came from.
Okay. Time out.
Oh, okay.
Time out. Communicating with dignity starts with relationship, but also a place acknowledging our own brokenness.
Yes.
Self-awareness of who I used to be.
Yes.
Come on.
When I remember the things that you may not No. When I remember the things that I did in secret that the Lord knows and he reached out and got me, when I remember the things that I thought and the ways that I behaved and how far that is from Christ, then when I get ready to look at your sin, I'm not indignant. I don't have this self-righteousness. So I can speak to you with dignity because I have a heart for you. Because my heart is broken for you. I know what it feels like to live in sin. I know what it's like to be a slave to sin. Wow. And I don't blame you for it. My blame is on the enemy.
Come on, because we wrestle not
with because I
wrestle not with flesh and blood.
I don't think you chose that life. I don't think that you're refusing. I think that you don't know that freedom is truly yours. Nobody wants to deal with an addiction of any kind. Nobody wants to deal with an affliction of any kind. Nobody is saying, oh, I have a good mind. I'm mentally healthy, spiritually healthy, and emotionally healthy, but I'm going to choose death and destruction. That sounds crazy.
Yeah, and nobody's doing that.
No, so if I'm talking to you with dignity, if there needs to be some correction, I need to do so from a place of grace and mercy, and I have more grace and mercy when I'm reminded of the grace and mercy that I'm living in.
Yes,
because baby, I was a mess.
Me too.
Listen,
me too. And some days, both like grace, mercy, like God, I thank you that you cover because in reality, like without Jesus stepping in,
right,
we would all still be lost in our sin.
It's not because I work hard. Yeah. It's not because I have goodwill. It's not because of my willpower. It's not because it's none of those things. I am who I am, where I am, freed the way that I am because of what Christ did and what Christ continues to do because His Holy Spirit is in me.
Yeah, we don't get to take credit. Mm-mm. We don't get to remembering. I'm hearing you saying remembering over and over is a key piece of communicating with dignity.
Yes.
Remembering and being honest about what we remember. Being honest about what we remember about
Amnesia
ourselves.
Amnesia is real in the church, baby.
Amnesia is real.
It's real. You forgot.
Lest we forget. Lest we forget. Yes, 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 yes. Who gets to measure whether I'm communicating with dignity?
Well, Christ gets to measure.
Because, but he's not here, right? In person. And so if I'm talking to you, like, is it the recipient?
No.
Who says I'm measuring, or is it the speaker that says I'm measuring? Who gets to say whether or not the communication valued the other person?
I am not trying to be extra spiritual.
Okay.
I am telling you, there is no way for us to know whether or not we are speaking with somebody with dignity just because it was our intention to, or because they received it in a way. Because sometimes speaking to you with dignity means that I have to say hard things. Maybe I don't say hard things and I say soft things. That is not dignifying. It may feel dignifying to you. It may cause us to avoid some some tension.
Yeah.
But just because it went over well and it was well received does not mean that I spoke to you with dignity. If I watered down what needed to be said, if I wasn't honest about, you know, what the outcome is going to be for your lifestyle, for your choice, or for whatever it is I'm talking to you about, that could feel like I spoke to you with dignity because you felt good about it and you received it. But is what I said enough? Did I tell you what is actually going to help you, or did I water it down so that you could receive it better?
Wow.
So then what can be the test for what is dignity, right? I could say a harsh thing to you because you receive it that way, but you're receiving it that way in that moment also can't be whether or not I said it with dignity, because people are broken. You can say something to me and have respect and honor for me, but because of the lies that I'm still believing, because of the place that I am, I may not be able to receive it in this season. 2 months from now, I may come back and remember, you know what? Pastor Paula said this to me, and I really talked about her. I drug her for filth when I called my homegirl, because I don't know who she thinks she is. She thinks she better than people. Right? Like, I drug you for filth with the homegirls. But now that I have grown, the Holy Spirit has reminded me of how you spoke something in my life
that's
was difficult for me to receive.
That's true.
I think people say the Lord told them and God spoke to them, but they lying. People just lie. They know they lying. Right? So, I mean, I'm trying to keep it 100.
But what about, sometimes the recipient is not in a place where they can receive it. So we can't really judge it by that.
Right.
But I've been in situations where the giver is extremely undignified. in what they say. Like, we're not going to talk about the clips on Instagram Reels of some of our folk behind the mic.
Baby.
That are not okay with the way they say things.
But how do you know they're not okay? How do you know? Like, right? And I know what clips, the kind of clips you're talking about. But when you see those clips.
The fruit is missing. The fruit of the spirit is missing.
Okay. It still comes back to the spirit, right?
That's good.
Because that's the standard. It's not that I needed them to say it in a soft way. It is that the way that you said that is devoid of love and grace and patience and long. All those things were missing from that. So it's still, and my ability to discern that, it's a spiritual thing, right? Yes. The fruit of the spirit is a spiritual thing.
Yes.
So it means it requires the Holy Spirit for me to even discern if it was said with dignity. Yeah. So I'm not trying to be like super churchy. I just don't know how else we could.
Well, I mean, sometimes we lose sensitivity to being able to judge the fruit of our own actions.
Do you think that a person has sat down with God, has had a conversation with the Holy Spirit and sought guidance, and when they left that space after they heard from God, they still delivered it without dignity?
I think that can happen.
Okay.
Because I myself have known that I needed to say something and the Holy Spirit was clear on what I needed to say. And then in the moment, I allow my emotions or I allow my motives or even good intentions to get in the way of actually saying it in a way that it can be heard.
Okay. I'll take that.
And so for me, I've had to check and go back and say, God, I'm sorry, because you told me to say it, but you didn't tell me to say it like that. You didn't tell me to say it like that. And so part of me feels like, I think you're absolutely right. There are some things we say to people and have hard conversations that are not received well because of where that person is.
Right.
And that's a weight we have to let go of and we can't carry. But I think also we have to be honest with ourselves.
Baby.
When we are wrong.
Reflection and self-awareness.
It's huge in communicating with dignity. And we have to be honest with ourselves and say, you know what? What I said was right and they didn't receive it because of how I said it.
Yep. I was dead wrong.
And I was dead wrong.
Because she looked at me like she ain't know what I was talking about.
Right.
And that just, no shit.
If you say the right thing the wrong way, you still wrong.
Yes.
You're still wrong. And so I think, I think you're right. With the fruit of the spirit, we have to always check. Not only was what I said loving, patient, kind. Did I have self-control when I said it?
Yep.
Or did I pop off out of, I mean, it's so funny when working, and you were a teacher.
Yes.
At one point.
Yes.
The worst thing you can do is address the issue in front of a crowd.
Listen.
Because
now we both, now you gonna act up, and now I'm acting up.
Is addressing the issue in front of a crowd. Yes. Because people tend to, our flesh tends to buck up.
Yes.
You know, differently. And so I think that's part of it too, is communicating with dignity.
That's where humility comes in though, right?
Yeah.
If you start thinking about, right, your example of being in the classroom as the person that's leading, right? Whether it's in a classroom or in church or whatever, there is this, I ought to be respected. I shouldn't have to explain this.
Ooh.
And you disrespected me in your response or your attitude or whatever. And so because of my embarrassment, my ego and my pride is getting in the way. But if I am humble, putting your needs, you need, first of all, you talking to me crazy? I know you need encouragement. Let's go in the hallway. I know you need some encouragement because you're tripping. So Wes, you right? So instead of me trying to defend my title, my position, my whatever, I'm okay with people feeling like you bucked up or feeling like you disrespected me or feeling like you know what I'm saying, did whatever.
Yes. People over position.
Yeah.
People over position. You know, out of 3 years of ministry, we do not see Jesus trying to get people to worship him, trying to get people to bow down to his authority. I did this and I did that. And we don't see that. We don't see that. We do not see him putting position over people. And he is the Messiah of the world.
Yep.
Like getting ready to go to the cross and still rebuking Peter. Not by position, but because Peter, what you are doing right now to another person and putting you in danger, trying to stop what God has purposed for my life. Yes. It wasn't about his title, but it was about people and about purpose, even in that deadly moment. Wow. Wow. That's good. That's good. That's good. Walking with Jesus requires us to be truthful and loving. Mm-hmm. How do we hold those in tension when it comes to communicating?
I think it comes from personal relationship with Christ. I just don't know how we can let go of wanting to be liked and accepted, mm-hmm. wanting to be respected, wanting to be useful and effective. Those are all good things. But if that's our deciding factor, then it will have an impact on how I communicate with you.
Yes.
Right? Those motives will.
Yes.
Because the flesh is still the flesh.
That's it.
And
that's true.
I may be telling you something good, but there's a part of me that wants to be seen as somebody valuable. There's a part of me that wants to be seen as a leader. There's a part of me that wants you to know that I know what I'm talking about, like to be validated. So if I give you advice and you take it, you don't buck up, then that validates this call and this anointing on my life, right? And so, we often want to see fruit from that conversation.
Yes.
And you won't always get to see the fruit from a conversation.
No.
So I'm just going to plant this seed. I'm just going to water. And you can reject it or whatever. Mm. But am I willing to share something with you that needs to be said to communicate with you in dignity, even if it means my feelings are going to get hurt, even if it means I'm going to feel rejected. Mm-hmm, am I willing to do it even if you continue to do what you've been doing?
Right.
Am
right,
I going to say to you, what if you leave the church? What if you stop being my friend? What if you don't follow me?
Right.
What if you tell your homegirls about me and not all of them?
Yes.
Right? Like, what if all... Am I willing to do that? And I think the only way we get to a place where we are willing to have conversations with dignity and communicate with dignity, one, a lot of times they're hard conversations.
Yeah, they are. They are.
And two,
easy conversations. We don't have to talk about it with dignity.
It's just
it's easy.
But I don't know how we can overcome that.
Yes.
Especially as leaders. And we are leaders in the Christian space, pastors, title or no title.
Right?
We've been called to lead somebody. And
that's
in those spaces, we're going to often be called on to have difficult conversations. Mm-hmm. And it requires dignity, you know, to be present in our communication. And without being solid with Christ, I don't know how I walk into situations where I could be rejected, where somebody may not like me because of what I said, where my reputation, because I always think, I don't want you to think I think I'm all of that.
I don't want you to think I think I'm all of that.
Right. Well, who cares?
And like, here goes the earring on the podcast. But we're not going to cut it out because I don't want you to think that I think I'm all of that. I'm just going to put it in while you keep talking. Go ahead.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we get into those spaces. We want to manage how we're perceived. We want to manage our brand and our reputation.
Yeah.
That over communication with dignity. Right. There's no way for me to continually show up to do that without Christ as my I need him to encourage me. I need him to remind me that he got me. And then when I say it and I feel bad about it because you cried or because you cussed me out or whatever, and I go back to him, I need him to comfort me. Else I'm never going to say the next thing
or correct you.
Listen and say it now.
Because sometimes comfort or correct. And we got to be open to the Holy Spirit. Before we step out trying to correct other people, I think we have to be open to the Holy Spirit correcting us.
That's the only way.
As well, that's the only way. You said something key about relinquishing the results.
Yeah.
Relinquishing the results. And I think sometimes that can be hard, especially in hard conversations.
Yes.
We can wear the weight like, oh, they didn't hear me or, oh, I did. Even if we did it wrong, wearing the weight is also wrong because we need to be able to relinquish that. So can you talk about a little bit, how do you relinquish the results? What are some practical things you do to relinquish the results?
I remind myself that the growth is not my responsibility. And here's the thing. Mm-hmm. If I release myself from the outcome, right, I'm not responsible for how this turns out. I'm going to put this seed in the ground. I'm not responsible for how fast it grows, if it grows, when it grows.
That's true.
If I do that, and I do that for good things and bad things, right?
Yes.
And so sometimes you'll do something, you'll plant a seed, you'll water, and you'll see fruit immediately.
Uh-huh.
If I remind myself, I didn't do that. I preached a good word. Somebody got saved.
That's good.
I taught something.
Don't read your own press.
Learns. Listen, somebody learned something. If I remind myself, oh no, I didn't do that.
Yeah.
So now I'm not responsible for the outcome at all.
That's
good
right.
or bad. But that takes a constant reminder. I have to say those things out loud. I'm not just saying like, oh, you have to keep that in mind. No, you need to say aloud before you speak. You need to say aloud after you speak. God, I have done what you've called me to do. I am not responsible for the outcome.
That's
I trust
good.
You
That's
for the
good.
Outcome.
That's
right?
good.
So if there's growth,
praise God.
Praise God. God.
Yeah.
And if there's not growth, then praise God. Praise God. That's the Lord's
like
timing.
Like it's a seed. Lord's timing.
It's the Lord's timing. Ooh, I have to say it every time, though.
That's good.
Because
when I
give
you
a good
say
word,
every time.
Baby, because listen, because I got a good word and I'm going to preach something good, honey. And somebody to send me a little DM to say, oh, that
it's
was right
DMs.
On time.
Yeah.
I needed that.
Tell the truth. Above the divide, she is being honest with
Listen.
Y'all, because there are sometimes that for preachers, we get up, we preach, and we know when we messed up. We know when it didn't hit. We know when we went too long, whatever. We know. Yeah. And on that same length, we know when we did what God called
Come
us
on.
To do. We know when we were
he was
in the pocket,
house.
Right? He was in the house. And so real talk, like preachers, proclaimers of the word of God really have to take that seriously.
Yes.
Because that owning the results leads to all types of
foolishness.
of foolishness. That's
yes.
good.
You
That's
get that
good.
DM, Pastor Paula, I just want you to know that word is free. Girl, somebody came, they got free. You like, yes, look at me. And that's how Satan got
that's
on.
That's how Satan, that's how Satan got on. Mm-hmm. That's how Satan got on. That foolishness.
Yep.
Thinking he was doing the results.
And I deserve this. Right? I can celebrate in my participation. I participated.
Yeah. Yes.
But I don't need to take credit for.
Yeah. What only God can do. Because it's the anointing that destroys the yoke.
Yeah. That's celebrate good. Your obedience. Like, yes, I did that.
That's good.
Because that's all you did.
That's bars. You know? Celebrate your obedience.
Yeah, that's it.
That's bars.
Because I did do that. I did make the call. I did write it down. I did send the text.
Right.
I did stand
up. Because we are participants.
Yes.
In this
celebrate
work.
Your obedience.
But we are
I
not.
I got the word. Nobody clapped. That's cool. We about to celebrate anyway because I was obedient in bringing this word.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Obedience, not getting stuck on the result, relinquishing the results.
Yeah, you have to surrender that.
Surrendering the results. That's good. That's good.
They might be smarter than me. I have to say it every time because I'm slow. So
you're so silly.
Y'all might be quick. Y'all might just get it and it be in your heart. Nah, fam. I love a red carpet. I want somebody to appreciate me. I want a gift. You know what I'm saying?
Stop it. That's
baby,
your love language.
That's my flesh, honey. My flesh be like, yes, honey, I did. Thank you for the red carpet. Yes. I'll let your girl. So for me, I have to be reminded. And I come from a space of like, you know, achievement and accomplishment.
Okay.
Right?
Drives you.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm good at stuff.
Yes.
I'm going to get it done. I'm going to work hard. I take pride in that. And so when you get into this ministry space, that doesn't just run away.
It doesn't.
And so for
it doesn't.
Maybe other people is like, oh, they got, for me, no, I got to say it.
I told y'all she was honest.
Yeah,
I told y'all.
Because if I say it every time, I'm going to be out here acting like I didn't did something.
Listen, you done helped somebody. You done helped a lot of bodies. You done helped a lot of bodies today. You done helped a lot of bodies today.
I did it. No, you didn't.
No,
girl,
God did it.
The Lord did that, honey.
God did it. That's good. That's good. That's good. As we prepare to wrap this episode of Above the Divide and Communicating with Dignity, would you please leave our Above the Divide audience with one final thought? With one final thought.
Yes. And this is what I pray for.
Okay.
For everybody that's listening, for anybody that hears at any time, I pray that your heart would be broken for God's people, for his loss, for those that are young in the faith, for those who are new in the faith, for those who are still without Christ. I pray that your heart would be so broken. That you would care more about their salvation and their freedom than you do about judging their lifestyle. I pray that your heart would be broken, that you would be agitated and unable to sleep unless you were a reflection of the love of God, that the priority of your life would be to be the love and the salt and not to be a corrector and a judger, that you would follow Christ and be like Christ who is love and not like God who is judgment, that you would follow the one that you say you follow. That's my heart. That's what I pray. I pray that your heart is broken. And that it is grieved, that what grieves the Lord grieves you, so that you are unsettled unless you do and say things with the love that God has called for us to. That's what I hope. That's what I leave you with.
We are praying that our hearts would be broken for the lost, for those who are hurting, for those who have not found a relationship, the loving relationship with Jesus Christ, in such a way that when we say things, we would say it with grace. We would say it with love. We would say it and speak it the way Jesus would say it and speak it. As you get ready to go about your week, we want you to remember that we always start with relationship. Just because something is right doesn't mean we've earned the right to say it. Like Pastor Courage said, at the end of the day, the fruit of the Spirit matters more than what we say. Did we say it with love? Did we say it with patience? Did we say it with kindness and gentleness? Did we have self-control in our tone and the words that we are using? Are we long-suffering and willing to forgive when maybe the conversation goes left? Are we communicating with the fruit of the Spirit? And then finally, are we doing it from a place of humility that the results that may or may not come from it are not ours? We are responsible for relinquishing responsibility. Above the Divide, if this episode has blessed you, don't forget to click like, click share. Don't forget to subscribe to this channel, and we will be back with you next week. Have a great week. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Above the Divide. Above the Divide is sponsored by Cohesion, a church creating community, unifying the body, and equipping people. If this content is helpful, subscribe to the channel and share it with someone else. We look forward to be together again on Tuesday for our next episode.